Welcome to Babbo and Joe Show, your Mile High Nerd Culture Podcast. My name is Joe.
And I'm Babbo.
How you doing today, Babbo?
Quite awesome, man. Quite awesome. I feel great.
Yeah?
A little shaky.
Yeah?
Really excited.
Are you going to, like, go into a diabetic coma or something?
I might.
Oh, my God.
I'm excited, man, because you got this Injustice 2 days.
2 days, mofos. By the time you listen to this, Injustice will have already been out, probably. But 2 days from now,
a tournament.
There is going to be a tournament at my house.
It's going to go down.
It's going down, bitches.
Tavis, you're going to be a part of this tournament, aren't you?
Oh, I thought y'all forgot about me. I'm sitting over here shaking.
No.
Yes, yes.
Joining us in the garage today is our friend to the show, Tavis.
Hello out there in the real world. Y'all like chicken?
Yeah.
Everybody loves chicken.
We just went to Popeyes and got some chicken. It was amazing.
It was delicious. I love that chicken from Popeyes.
Yeah.
Popeyes is good.
I'm really excited about Injustice. Like, I've been waiting for this game to come out for a long time, and, man, I get to be Superman. I'm excited.
is that one of the characters you're looking most forward to playing?
Yeah, Superman and Solomon Grundy. Mm. Right there. I mean, like, those are some of the most two powerful people that... All right, that exists in the whole DC universe, so, at least in one of my opinions, anyway.
But Ares.
Yeah, Ares a beast.
Yeah, so, hey, let's go over this this list real quick of all the fighters in Injustice. They're all officially announced now. We have Aquaman, Ares, God of War, Wonder Woman's father. I would have expected them to go the cheetah route if they were going to drop a Wonder Woman villain in there, or even Cersei. Ares was a surprise. I was pretty surprised. And his gameplay looks really dope. Bane.
Yeah.
Batman. Black Adam. Catwoman. Cyborg. Deathstroke.
Booyah!
Doomsday.
Oof.
The Flash. Green Arrow. Green Lantern. Harley Quinn. Hawk Girl. The Joker.
Ooh.
Killer Frost. Also recently announced. A couple of weeks ago, or about a week ago, I don't know. It was exciting though. She, and the gameplay, she kind of plays a bit like Sub-Zero, so that's interesting.
Some similar moves in there for sure.
Yeah. And then Lex Luthor, Nightwing, Raven, Shazam, Sinestro,
Shazam!
Solomon Grundy, Superman, and Wonder Woman. Now we downloaded the demo, and we've been playing it. And the demo has three characters. You get your Batman, you get your Wonder Woman, and your Lex Luthor. So, you know, you get a fast power character in Wonder Woman.
Two stages.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's got her two stances. She's got her sword and shield stance and her lasso stance, and she's pretty fucking hardcore.
The sword and shield's pretty brutal.
Yeah, it is.
It's slow, but if it pays off when you hit.
Yeah, it hits hard. I like the lasso for the quickness myself.
Definitely.
You know, I was rocking you guys with the quick moves.
Yeah, you range. Yeah, you guys are putting some mad work in on me. But the game is cool, because even with just those three characters, we were playing for hours.
Addicting.
Yeah.
That is so good.
It's really amazing. I love the graphics. The fighting style is kind of cool.
And we were, you know, discovering, using the environment.
Yeah.
And discovering the transitions between the different areas of a stage.
Transitions were something else.
Yeah, those are fun. It's fun to watch.
Those
the
were
characters.
Always my favorite in those fighting games. When that, like any fighting game that had it, like I wanted to play. And
like a multi-tier stage, it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy how they have like so many superpowers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's so many different ways to play your character. It's really you can be really strategic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so cool.
Yeah, I think there's a little something for everyone in this game. You know, like there are characters that are, you know, the meat and potatoes, like hardcore, just. Like, whoop your ass fighters, you know,
absolutely.
Like the power characters. The power characters are going to be great. You know, there are people that love to play those characters that punch hard. And then, you know, there's the gadget characters, and the gadget characters seem to be, you know, chosen for their agility, and, you know, they interact with the environment differently than the power characters, who will just, like, rip something out of the environment and hit you with it. You know, a power character, you know, takes that kind of brute force style approach, but, you know, you get those gadget characters, and they'll bounce off of stuff, or, you know, rip something smaller off and whip it at you, and, yeah, no, it's evil. It's good.
Yeah.
What was your favorite character, Tavis?
Like, in the whole wide world?
No, but, like, out of the three that we played with.
Oh, it's gotta be Lex.
Lex.
Yeah, he's just so powerful and strong, and he has, like, all those different toys, like, the laser beam, and the power stick that shoots. It's crazy. I guess you have to, like, look, but I don't know. Lex is doing big things for me. Yeah.
Definitely Alexio.
What about you?
Me,
Babo.
I'd probably Batman.
Yeah, I lean toward Batman, super. Too. Batman is definitely... Yeah. At first, he was hard for me to play, but I think it was just, you know, getting used to the control scheme.
Definitely.
You know, like, the way I view it is it's, you know, it's kind of like Soul Calibur, right? You know how Soul Calibur has, like, the three attack buttons and then the one block button?
Yeah.
Well, there's no block button. I love that you have to push back for block in this. That's how it should be in fighting games. That's how I started playing Street Fighter 2. And
all fighting games need that.
All fighting games should
definitely
use back to block, not black to block.
So. Why is everybody looking at me? Hi, everyone. I'm Tavis. I'm black.
That'll be the title of the show.
I'm Tavis. I'm black. That's funny. Good times. But, yeah, no, I'm really excited. I'm looking forward to playing all those quick little characters. I'm looking forward to learning Catwoman.
Yeah.
She looks like she's going to be the quickest character in the game. The Flash looks pretty awesome as well.
Solomon Grundy, I want to see him.
He's like, big and slow.
I
want to play with him so bad. All of his moves on there look so brutal.
Yeah, that's why I want to play with him.
I want to see his full chain.
Of that chant.
Yeah, he's got like his, you know, the Solomon Grundy chant, you know, the Solomon Grundy born on a Monday, did some shit on a Tuesday, some other bad shit happened on a Wednesday, like, other bad shit happened on Thursday. Like, he goes and he, like, you know, crunches someone with a move with every, you know, verse of the, or every line of the rhyme.
Yeah.
And I really want to see how that full thing plays out. I wonder how much life that takes off of someone to see the whole thing.
Oh, man.
It just can't be good game dialogue. Smash!
he's a zombie, and I love that he pulls out weapons and a tombstone from himself, and he's just...
Yeah, he's got all those knives sticking out of his back, and...
He looks all messed up.
He does look messed up.
Great!
I'm excited to see Bane in a game. Like, you know, Bane has been fucked in the movies. You know, I haven't liked how they've represented Bane in the movies very much. They represented Bane really good in that Justice League Doom movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, he had his, you know, South American accent. He was all smart and calculating. And, you know, he got bigger when he used his venom. And, you know, he relied on his venom. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, and they're carrying that over to the game now. And, you know, I like that characterization of Bane. It's a lot better than the movies. So
Bane's a big, bad, scary dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't really prove that in the movie, did he?
No.
He's all, I'm super smart, and that's all I'm going to rely on.
Well, he was super smart, and that's cool, but...
pretty strong. I'm a pretty strong guy. I'm pretty well built, yeah.
He put it to the bats in the movie for a little while.
He did rock Batman in the movie.
Yeah, he did.
But
first
still,
fight was over.
I mean... It's only because they had to.
Yeah, that's kind of the formula for, you
every
know.
Time Bane come up with a way badder version of Bane in the comics or even the old movies, he'd rock them.
Yep.
Yeah, or there's always some new twist, you know, maybe, you know, this character decided to hook up with this character and now they teamed up and they're going to, you know, stomp on Batman's nuts.
Little bat nut crunch.
Yeah. That sounds like a bad cereal that I don't want to try.
Anything with crunch.
Bat nut crunch.
No thanks, Mom.
Cool. Thanks. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to these to this game though. We're gonna have the group of people. I don't even know how many people are actually gonna show up, but you know, Babo and Tavis are a lock, and I'm there, so
yeah.
You know, it's gonna be fun. I hope Mikey shows up. That would be cool. And yeah, you know,
I'm gonna make him listen to this episode too.
What about Jay?
Jay has to work, unfortunately. So yeah. Due to the nature of what he does, he's not able to take the time off to come hang out with the boys and bust some games. No.
Unfortunately.
That's unfortunate. But, you know, hey, he'll be with us in spirit, and I'll, I know that he'll...
Give him a text. I'll be like, hey, we're having a blast. I'm sorry you couldn't made it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, no, Jay's definitely getting a neener text from us. Like, haha, I wish you were here.
Gotta send him some pictures of the game.
Well, he's buying the game, too, and so I look forward to facing Jay online.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be fun. And Alex, you know, I talked to Alex, like 2 days ago on the phone. And
how far away is Alex now?
He's in Oregon.
Yeah, that's going to be quite a trip just for a game.
Yeah, no. He's not coming out to the thing here, but I was talking some smack about, you know, about his fighting skills. No, he wanted to buy it.
Oh, is
he's interested in buying it and facing me in the online battlefield. So yeah,
keep antagonizing. He'll buy.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah, no, I am looking forward to the competition. You know, Alex has always been good competition for me on just about every fighting game that we've ever played together. I can't think of anything that, you know.
Oh my god, could you imagine? Like, alright, just, if you got any other friends that, like, are at another house, and they have Xbox Live, or PS Network, what were you playing it on?
I'll be playing it on PlayStation 3.
Okay, so if anyone else has it on PlayStation 3, then, like, and they're at their house, and they have a party, you could, like, hit them up, and set up an even bigger bracket.
Oh yeah, you could definitely go, like, you know, cross-country, like, you know, friends tournament style. I bet, you know, I wouldn't want to have to organize anything like that, but
I would. Great. Dude, it would take like 15 minutes.
Yeah, it'd take like 15 minutes.
Take like one person on the other side and then take names. That's it.
Yeah, but you know, there wouldn't, we don't have the ability to like sponsor any kind of prize or anything like that. It would just be for glory.
Prize. I'm just saying, it would be other for glory. Obviously you should hit them up.
Yeah. Couldn't hurt.
I don't have that many friends on PlayStation Network.
Oh.
Well, no, it's just, you know.
It's because you get beat.
Wait, not the actual friends on that. I mean, like, friends in Colorado. I'm sorry.
Oh.
I'm not talking about going global.
Oh, I was like, Jesus, dude. Like, I better get good fast. Because this could get bad.
No, say for instance, you know, Maggie had it at PlayStation. And he had a party. And then he had friends over.
It could be like Mikey's party versus my party.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
That'd be awesome.
That would be kind of fun. That would be kind of fun.
Do I get to be on your team, Joe?
Of course.
Word.
Of course, man. I wouldn't have it any other way, man. You're like one of the best fighting game players I've ever met in my life, dude.
Thanks, man.
Always a competition with Davis.
Yeah, every single time.
Always comes down to it.
Yeah, great. Dude, Babo and Tay are definitely really good competition. I have borne witness to some really amazing fights.
Babo, he's really talented. Wow. Like he's a thinker, and it's great. Cause like I don't know what he's gonna do, but then I do. Mm-hmm. Like competition, yeah.
Yeah, when we're talking Tekken Tag 2, we're talking Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, he's got talent. Both of you guys got talent.
What's great about these games is they make it all look like art, so it's easy.
Yeah.
Like you enjoy watching it while playing at the same time.
Like dropping the thunder on someone. It
especially
looks pretty.
when Asuka does a counter.
Oh, dude.
That's so cool.
Asuka's counters, man. Like, I love characters that have counters.
Yeah, some Tekken Tag, too.
Yes.
Tekken Tag.
Mm. Yes.
Counter characters are definitely my favorite. Quick characters and counter characters.
I've been a long time.
I prefer
to
ninja your ass through the fight.
Since it first came out, like in the arcade version. Oh, man. Fucking like Paul Phoenix.
I got into it at Tekken 3.
Paul Phoenix, yeah. He was one of my favorite counter characters back in the day. Him absolutely. And Nina.
Yeah, Nina and Jin.
I think Paul Phoenix kind of changed quite a bit.
Not really. He's
not really.
Much,
he really plays a lot like he does from 3.
I feel not fighting wise. I mean, like him as a character. I feel like he was way more like butch and badass. Like,
he still is.
Back then, but now he's
all
kinda,
power.
If you watch all the, no. I mean like the story background things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now he's
all trivial soft. Little things. Now he's all like, cartoony and. Not badass mean.
Yeah, he's hanging out with Law.
Butch Paul.
he's kind of the butt of jokes and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's changed.
Well, he's not the focal point of the story anymore. He used to be.
Well, him and Law were one of the, interesting
the
stories that made people, want to follow it.
Jin came along with that whole devil line, and that was...
Yeah, after Jin...
into that.
Yeah, after Jin started, inheriting the devil gene from his dad, that was... That was it. He was pretty much the story you followed.
Yeah, because that's a really cool story. Mm. I'm always interested. I'm like, what's gonna happen next?
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I still love me like some Yoshimitsu. I'm really glad to see Kunimitsu making a comeback in the Tekken series.
She's always super fun.
Yeah, she's always been one of my favorites. Kunimitsu's a fucking badass. She's quick as fuck, and she's got all those disappear, bounce around the screen moves. Love that shit, dude. She's a fucking G.
Yeah, definitely one of the artists of the games.
Yeah, she's fucking hard, dude. And I like Elisa a lot too, man.
Oh yeah, Elisa the robot.
Yeah, as far as all the robots are concerned, I've never been a fan of really any of them.
Nice flow compared
none of the
to
Jax.
Them.
Yeah,
awesome. Jax are one of my favorites. I'm gonna put you guys on the spot. How do you guys feel about Murdock?
Ugh.
What, when you play him?
Yes.
So mean.
I don't like to play against you when you play Murdock.
He puts you down, picks you up, he throws you around.
Yeah, he's one of my all-time favorites.
Kind of manhandles you, folds you like
so
a chair.
He throws you up and then throws you around. And then comes over and picks you up and does it all over again.
Smacks your mama and eats your chicken and fucking
yeah,
dude.
He's so mean.
He's bad. He's badass.
Now you all know about Murdock. I'll see you online.
So,
he's the Godzilla of Tekken.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you know how to use him, he's hard to get a good rhythm going.
Mm.
But once you do, it's epic.
It's ogre with the Godzilla of Tekken. But
yeah, I'm gonna say
it's
one more
bad
thing about
news
him.
When he comes along. Let's
yeah, he has
way.
Shock value. He's more scary looking and intimidating than what he really is. And that's what really makes him awesome to me.
Yeah. And I really like, Steve because of how quick he is. But I just can't use him yet. Like, I haven't. Really put in the time with them.
His arm.
Yeah,
it's a cool story. They haven't really told him too much about it, which is unfortunate.
Not much. He's what Nina and Hayashi's kid, kinda.
Yeah, he's like a genetic mishmash of the Hayashi line and
Nina.
Yeah.
And
Nina.
Uh huh.
Steve is Hayashi's kid.
Yeah, I believe so.
Really.
Well, no, he's more like a clone.
Yeah, he's more of a clone, I think.
Like a gene splicing.
Yeah.
So they took, like, Heihachi's DNA and put it into Nina and impregnated her?
And I think they were trying to do something with the devil gene.
It would be his sperm.
Because, like, that's why his arm's all messed up, like, because it didn't take well and scarred him.
Right.
Like, because Jin's
Heihachi has the devil gene?
No, just Jin and Kazuya.
So how did they give it over to... They just gave it a newborn, the devil gene?
Well, originally I think it was
Well, Jinpachi looks like he has some kind of devil gene.
No, he's completely
mystic
different.
Powers,
he's just like
sure.
Mystic powers. The devil gene came from Kazuya when Hayashi threw him off the mountain. I think he made some kind of deal.
So is it Kazuya's clone? Kazuya and Nina's clone then, Steve, maybe?
Yeah, but they took
cuz that would make more sense with the devil gene.
They took some of Jin's DNA to make him.
Mm. Okay.
I see Jin and Nina be hanging out a lot.
Yeah, I'd be hanging out with Nina, too.
Nina's
like
kind of nice.
Your outfit is nice.
Just don't hit me.
Please? Yeah. Don't break nothing.
Don't chop me in the face.
I know what you're into.
Then Lars came along out of that line. Hey, Hachi's kid.
Yeah.
That old man.
Lars.
Dirty old man.
Is that really his story? He's Hachi's kid?
Yep.
Wow.
So
yeah,
him and Kazuya are brothers?
That's how they were introduced. Lars leads Jin's army.
Yeah.
He's a really good leader, too.
Wow.
He's so badass. In the intro on Tekken 6, he's leading the force in. to this like building to go retrieve Boskanovich information. And at one point, they come up against a wall, and then Lars takes the lead. And on the other side of the wall is like this guy's ready to come out of cover and shoot them all. Lars comes up like the almost as fast as the Flash. It was ridiculous, and punches straight through the wall, and, like dents it, and with like electric sparks coming out, and the guy's just down.
That's pretty brutal.
Like, that's his intro. That's cool. How you first meet Lars.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I gotta say, Namco has, you know, kept me interested in Tekken. You know, I've played Tekken a lot of years. I started playing Tekken 2 back in the arcade.
Yeah.
And then I got Tekken 3 for the PlayStation, the first PlayStation. And, yeah, dude, it was on ever since, dude. Love me some Tekken.
Definitely grew up with some Tekken 2.
I mean, I kind of missed a few episodes of Tekken just because they were hard to, you know, get my hands on, or people that I knew didn't have them or whatever.
Tekken 3 was my favorite Tekken.
Tekken 3 was pretty fucking hardcore.
I didn't play Tekken 4, but no. I played Tekken 3.
I played Tekken 4 with Tay.
Yeah, there's no beating me in Tekken 3. I'm laying that challenge out there to the masses. Get you some.
Get you some, boys and girls. But yeah, no. So I don't know, Babo. Back to Injustice real quick. What like two or three characters are you most looking forward to learning how to play?
Even narrowing it down to three is just probably Harley Quinn, Catwoman. And honestly, Aquaman.
Aquaman?
Yeah.
Aquaman's looking pretty sick.
He's looking so beast.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's cool to see Aquaman not taken in a chump light.
Yeah, right. It's good that he got some recognition finally.
The ocean covers 2/3 of the planet, and he's got to, you know, protect that.
Absolutely.
Well, he's been represented as a bitch over
the
years.
That's how it's been.
But
it's good that he's having his comeback, though.
I'm glad that DC is trying to revamp his image.
Do you think they'll come out with an Aquaman movie soon?
I saw a trailer for an Aquaman movie, and I don't know if it's, like, a real trailer or someone's, like, student project or something, but
it
looked really sucky, and I was not impressed with it. They had, like, some young Ryan Gosling-looking fuck, you know, playing, like, some surfer dude, and he was like, in the gad, and it's like, I don't know.
He's getting all fishy. Literally. No, that's definitely not the actual thing.
I'm really hoping that's not a real
deal. I saw that one.
Deal.
I know what you're talking about.
That would be a cool movie. I'd go see it.
I'd see Aquaman if they did it upright.
Yeah.
You know?
Take place in his, like, in Atlantis.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
You know, let him...
some kind of war against...
the surface?
I want to say the surface. One of his arch foes for sure, though.
Oh, like Black Manta?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Black Manta would be really cool, I guess.
Or, let's see, is Atuma, that might be Marvel Namor. It's hard to, I mix up Namor and
like
Aquaman and villains and lore a lot.
Who are the evil league in swamps?
Oh, the Injustice League?
The Injustice League.
Or the Injustice Society or whatever,
sooner
something like
or later,
that.
That's going to come out.
Yeah.
That'll be awesome.
That'll be cool.
I'm really looking forward to seeing who they pick for the four DLC characters in Injustice.
Hmm.
There's four slated that are going to be released between now and August.
I wonder if they'll release more than that.
I'm sure that if it gets popular enough, they'll start releasing all kinds of extra shit for
it. I've never
it, like,
seen more than four characters ever added to a roster after the game is released, honestly.
It would be cool, though, if they added more
to
it. At that point, they'd probably just make a sequel and, you know, make more characters. Throw them in, and, you know, that way they're getting a new set of $60 plus whatever you choose to download plus, you know, whatever. So, yeah. That'll probably be the way that they choose to do it. If it's a commercial success like I think it's going to be, I mean, a lot of people I know are really excited for it, so.
So, you know what I heard? The new Xbox and the new PS3.
A new PS4?
New PS4.
PS4.
A new PlayStation. Now, this isn't fact, but I hear from a source that I deem pretty resourceful. Anyways.
Pretty credible.
Pretty credible. Everything's gonna be like you get a disc, and then you download it with this code on there.
On the disc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And after that.
The disc is wiped.
The disc is wiped. There's no further use for it. Like, it can never get used on another console of the same, you know? You can't let your friend or your little brother or sister borrow it. You can't let someone
borrow it and take it home and use it on their console. No. And I think that's really lame. And
you can't trade it in.
Yeah, you can't trade it in to get your money back.
Value or something.
Or, you know, trade it in to get another game. I think that they are...
You can look at it from both sides, though. They're losing so much money just because people...
will buy used games and things. But, and, you know, I think they're going to lose more money there because you're going to alienate it. You're going to make it a thing that only rich people will be able to afford. And yeah, when much. That happens, you're not... You're losing a lot of your base.
Way more.
You know, I think that, you know, when PS4 and Xbox 720 come out, and if the games are all like that, I think that you're going to see... you know, a lot of people just, you know, continuing to buy and make games for the 360 and the PS3. And, you know, it'll be, you know, people will have to, like, save up to get, you know,
it'll be stuff. It'll be terrible.
It'll be hard to be a gamer at that point if you
it's already hard enough, wealthy. Honestly. I mean, the ones who are gamers usually, sometimes they don't have, like, you know, the extra funds for that.
Yeah, and at least now we have the option of, you know, trading in our old games to get credit on new games and things like that.
That's been really helpful, especially in the economy.
Mm. Absolutely.
But,
so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
I heard one of them will be, you have to be connected online at all times to play.
Really?
Yeah. Either the PlayStation or the Xbox, I can't remember.
At all times?
Mm-hmm.
Has to be all times.
If you want to play on it.
Really?
That's crazy. Wow. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of a bit much. People have things to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, not everyone has, you know, a reliable internet connection. Yeah, not everyone can afford, you know...
the electricity.
So it's like one of those things. It's like, you know, it only belongs to the rich now.
I don't know.
Could be.
We'll see how this
That'd
goes.
That'd be dangerous, though.
Well, you know, if they reduce the price of games...
then maybe.
You know, like... if you suddenly can't have, you know, a disc that you can trade in, you know, that you buy for 60, if you can't get, you know, that $10 credit at, you know, a store, you know, maybe they'll start selling them for $40 a disc because, you know, no way people are going to want to pay, you know, 60 for a game that they can't do anything with it ever again. They just have to...
if they drastically drop that, people will definitely buy into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, it starts becoming a thing that you pick and choose, and you can kind of customize your games. Like, if they made, like, you know,
especially things, if you know,
kind of DLC-based or whatever, you could kind of just pick and choose the features that you wanted in the game that you wanted, you know. I don't know. It's interesting. It's a little too early to speculate on what this next gen of consoles is going to bring to the table, but, you know... like it's exciting.
If you're able to play your old games, then I'm down for it. Mm.
I know I'm going to be rocking PS3 for a while after PS4 comes out.
Next year, isn't it?
I think it's coming up this Christmas.
Wow.
Yeah, this upcoming Christmas season, 2013.
That's scary.
Yeah. But there's nothing wrong about playing a vintage game, because every once in a while, you know, I'll plug up my Nintendo and we'll have some Mario hours.
Yeah,
that's true. Wrong some Mario, that's for sure.
No.
Like, we downloaded on the Wii Mario Brothers 3 for my kids.
Oh, right
so
on.
That they could play Mario 3.
That was my favorite Mario. Well, I guess one's my favorite because Mario 64 is up there.
Mario 64 was dope. I really enjoyed Mario 2 a lot. I really like the format of it.
Oh, with the Luigi and the princess and that Toad. Was really cool.
I like that you could change your characters out. I like that they all had different special powers and, you know, different qualities to them. Like, that's where I became a Toad player. Like, any game that's Mario-based where you can select Toad as a playable character, I'm on top of that.
Well, Toad's always the best, like, even in Mario Kart.
Yeah, he's quick.
He's a quick little booger.
Yeah, I love me some Toad.
Toad's pretty cool. I've always been Yoshi.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He came out in Mario 3, didn't he?
No, he came out Mario World for the Super Nintendo.
Okay. Yeah, he used to be able to, like, eat things and...
Yeah, that was a big innovation when he came out, you know, Mario writing something. And yeah, watching Mario evolve over the years has been really, really cool.
Yeah.
You know, watching some of the different power-ups and stuff that, you know, that were cool and that weren't so cool. And, you know, I don't know, it's just, it's neat. He's gone through a lot of iterations.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the gaming community they need to revamp Mega Man.
Yeah,
I'd love to see a revamp of Mega Man. They kind of did like a 3D Mega Man. They called it Mega Man Legends for the PlayStation. They had 1 and 2. They made a sequel to it, but it wasn't quite the same. It was like an RP, and it had you know, plots and stuff. But you know, it was kind of weird plots and kind of, you know, silly. You know, it was that. The silly little kid anime style,
yeah,
you know, kind of plot lines and dialogue and things like that. And I thought it was kind of whack. And, you know, you got power-up weapons, but it wasn't quite the same as, you know, running through and defeating a robot master and, you know, getting their weapon and then taking their weapon and using it to defeat the next robot master and figuring out which weapon works on which master and all that. You know, that's what made Mega Man awesome to me. And
yeah,
I think
the little pieces.
I think that they need to, you know, make, you know, something that, you know, captures that essence of the original Mega Man games.
I agree.
But, you know, with today's graphics and, you know, maybe make like a really in-depth, pretty, you know, 2D side-scroller
something
kind of thing.
Well,
you know,
maybe
with
not
like
even
that fake 3D graphics in the background and stuff.
Maybe not even side-scroller. It could just like... How Castlevania made that extraordinary jump.
Mm.
Oof, that was a cool game.
I didn't get to play the new Castlevania.
I got to see a lot of trailers.
Yeah.
I watched my friend play a demo. It was pretty nice.
Yeah.
Played a lot of, almost like Dante's Inferno.
Cool.
You're not, it doesn't seem as limited though.
Dante's Inferno though, that didn't get a lot of good reviews.
Yeah, it was pretty limited. But like the playstyle is similar.
Cool.
You haven't played any of those games.
No?
No. I remember the old Castlevania, like, back from Nintendo.
Oh, old school Castlevania
was awesome.
My shit, dude. I loved that game.
When I first played a Castlevania, because I decided not to play any when I was really younger, but I played Castlevania Harmony of Despair, and it was released on the arcade for Xbox.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I was a side-scroller, and you could have up to, like, 8 people running through, like, this... big map, but it's like, for instance, it's like this giant mansion, but it's cut in half, so you see like where your character's running around, and he has to like go over stuff and dodge things and go up levels and
yeah,
and
no,
doors.
that reminds me a lot of Symphony of the Night. Did you ever play
that
Castlevania?
Yeah,
that was when they had the PlayStation.
That
one was really, really dope. It had all the elements of like the old classic. Castlevania, the side-scrolling and all that,
right,
but you were seeing the updated graphics, and it was able to handle, you know, more things moving on screen and stuff like that because it was a, you know, higher processing.
Yeah. Speaking of revamped games, do you guys remember an old video game? I think it was for Sega. It was called like Ultra Beast or Ultra Beast.
Yeah, Ultra Beast.
Like, yeah.
Man, that was my shit. I love that game.
Yeah, right?
Genesis. Did you ever play that?
Ultra Beast?
Altered Beast.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
It was great. There was like these orbs, and you would have to like hit them.
Yeah, like you started out as like a normal human.
Yeah.
And you would like walk, and you would like beat up monsters, and you would collect three orbs over the course of
it.
And you could turn into a werewolf or a weredragon.
They revamped it?
No, I was saying I wish they would because the game was epic.
I've got Altered Beast on my PlayStation 3 on a disc that has like a collection of Sega Genesis games. It's like 50 Sega games.
We're playing that.
We should play some Altered Beast.
Yeah, that's a 2-player game and it's awesome.
That is an awesome game. We can do that after we're done recording before I take Bravo home.
Some Sega.
Yeah. Sega.
That shit is. That's
so I hear
epic.
Before playing some Sonic.
I wish they came up with another Sega. I liked it.
It sucked when Sega folded, man.
It did. It was home of Sonic and. That is my favorite game.
Well, they fucked up doing dumb shit. They released new consoles between platform generations.
Yeah.
You know, that was dumb. You know, because it would be like, you know, basically whatever was going on in the current generation of platforms, but with a little something extra that was nice, but, you know, something better came out a couple of years later, and then, you know, it outsells it again. You know, like, when Dreamcast came out, they dropped that between when PlayStation and PlayStation 2 were released, and when PlayStation 2 came out, it came out, like, what, like a year or two after Dreamcast came out, and it buried Dreamcast.
It did.
And that was what killed Sega as a console maker.
Dreamcast was a cool system, too.
It was. It had a lot of cool innovations that, you know, like, it was one of the first internet-connective consoles.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, I think it was the first one. And it had, like, the memory units that plugged into the controllers that you could play, like, mini games on the memory units, like, Game Boy style. Like little mini games, and then like you would have unlockables in your CD game.
Yeah, they're inventive.
When you were playing on the TV.
Yeah, the first game I played on that was Soul Calibur. The graphics were amazing.
Yeah, the graphics were super epic. At the time,
was it Ready to Rumble? The release game that came with it. That was like the big to do.
Oh,
it was the boxing game.
What I got was Crazy Taxi with my Dreamcast.
Yeah, Crazy Taxi.
Crazy Taxi was a lot of fun. Whatever happened to, you know, video game consoles just straight coming with a game when you get it? Like, now it's like a special package. When the fuck did that happen? Back in the day, dude. I remember when I got my Nintendo. My Nintendo came with Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt.
Yes, it did.
My Sega Genesis came with Altered Beast.
And the gun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My Nintendo came with the gun and two controllers. Oh, my Sega Genesis came with two controllers, I believe, and Altered Beast.
Okay.
My PlayStation 1 came with Resident Evil 2 and the DualShock controller.
Yep.
Let's see. And then, like, yeah, they just kind of started dropping off after that. I didn't get a new Nintendo 64. I bought a used one, so
I
didn't have that
Xbox
come with anything.
Came with Halo.
Original Xbox, did it come with Halo? Just straight out of the gate, or did they sell Xbox and then Halo separately, and then they put them together as a package later?
That sounds a lot better.
That sounds like, yeah. And that's what they've been doing this like last two generations of platforms is, you know, now you get these, you know, these special packages. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I think some of the designs that they have for, like, the Xboxes and the PlayStations, you know, with the different color schemes and things like that. I think those are kind of cool, but it's not worth the extra money. And, you know, sorry, but a video game should fucking come with the fucking system. You're paying enough for it.
Yeah.
I agree.
It should just be like, here's a thank you for buying our system.
Yeah, you know.
Absolutely.
Like,
we invested in this.
You know, it's not like Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt were the most epic of games, you know, for the Nintendo. You know, but it got your whistle wet, it got you playing the system, it got you learning how to use the controller and shit, so.
And when you do get a system, you want to think of the game that, you know, you wanted to play to actually buy it.
Yeah.
You know, like.
You know, I wonder if you gave GameStop that fully wrapped one, they'd give you full value. Like, right as you buy it, you just turn it in. Take it out of the box, turn it in.
No, hell no, they wouldn't.
They better.
Give it the box.
No, I don't think that would happen. I think if you're in the, you know, video game sales industry and you do support buying back games and systems and things like that, you know, you got to run your situation like a pawn shop. You're not giving the consumer that comes to turn in something even half of the value of what it's actually worth because you need to sell it for probably, you know, what the half value is new. To make the profit, so
make anything out.
Yeah, so unfortunately, I think that you're not gonna see a situation where you get something just like brand new in the box and you can just go turn it into to a game store and, you know, even if you just took the shrink wrap off of it, you know, they wouldn't give you the full value.
Right, but the shrink wrap would be on it. So.
Well, even if you gave it to them with the shrink wrap on it, I don't think they'd give you full value. They might. You know, give you more than
technically, it's on my receipt.
That's what I was going to say. Just keep your receipts, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Yeah, now if you're returning something, that's a whole different story.
But you just bought it there, so you just open it up right in front of them, turn it in.
Well, no, I thought, like, in this hypothetical situation, maybe, like, you know, grandma goes to get you the Wii over at Kmart or something, and you're like, fuck the Wii, I don't want the Wii, you know, and then you go to, like, sell this shrink-wrapped Wii over at a game store that'll actually, like, you know, exchange it or whatever, give you money for it.
You said grandma.
Well, you know, grandmas and grandpas be fucking up some Christmas gifts and some birthday gifts. They mean well, but they don't...
they don't even know.
They don't have a clue.
Not with the times.
Yeah, they're not with the times. They're like, oh, you know, here, have this that's,
that
you
looks
know.
Like it'll be fun.
Yeah, you know.
I think.
You like robots, so, you know, here. You know, here's some, you know, I don't know, cardboard box robot... You know, I don't know, whatever. I
hope it's not cardboard. That'd be sad Christmas.
That would be a sad Christmas. I don't know. But I always remembered, like, you know, as a child, and maybe this was, you know, just kind of part of our culture now as Americans, I always felt ungrateful toward the toward the gifts that I got from grandmas and grandpas, because, you know, they always missed the mark. They weren't interested in my life enough to actually, you know, ask me what I really wanted and go and get it. You know, they would always get me, like, you know, the Kmart, or, you know, store brand equivalent, the generic.
You never get what you need.
You know,
reverse that. You always get what you need, not what you want.
Yeah, you know, when I was a kid, I wanted, like, you know, like a Transformers, and I got, like, a GoBot and a pair of socks and shit, you know?
Well, what lasted long with that, GoBot or those socks?
The GoBot. When I was a kid, dude, I was hard on clothes, man. Boys are hard on clothes.
Definitely.
Like, everything had holes in it.
I was hard on toys, especially, like, G.I. Joes. I would mess those things up. I would melt them and, like, stick nails in them and give them claws and stuff. Yeah, it'd be awesome.
Oh, yeah, take them apart and put them together with different parts that didn't have.
Destruction, man. Best part of childhood.
Oh, yeah, blowing them up with fireworks. That was always my favorite, was blowing up. Dude, 4th of July, for a lot of years as a child, was my favorite, because I would always grab the toys that, you know, I didn't like as much, or, you know, like, got from grandparents that previous Christmas, and go blow them shits up at 4th of July with firecrackers.
Anything that had, like, a grill and, like, a G.I. Joe, I was in.
You got a grill? Yeah. You got some G.I. Joes? Yeah.
I'm coming over.
Your cousin Tavis isn't allowed to come over here anymore. He burned up all your G.I. Joe men. All your G.I. Joe dolls. Remember when you were a kid and your parents described action figures as dolls?
Oh, yeah.
And, like, you're like, no, it's an action figure. You know, it's articulated. It has, you know, it does this, it does that. You know, it comes with guns. Dolls don't have guns. And there's always just, like, you know, dolls.
So far from a doll, his eyes light up.
Yeah, I know. I used to get pissed. I think that my parents thought it was funny to get me all worked up about the action figures. But, you know, what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
Cause I would get so pissed too. Like, I'd get, like, to the point of, like, frustration when I, like, you start to, like, well up with tears because you're so frustrated, can't shit. Because there's not shit you can do about it. It's like, you know, that rage. That child rage.
Where you sit there, shake for a while, and everybody laughs at you. Look at him shaking.
Go scream at your pillow.
Hey, why don't you go walk it off, tough guy?
Scribble on some paper.
Why don't you go outside and play, run some of that energy off. Yeah. Remember hearing that as a kid?
And they always catch you mumbling stuff under your breath. Would you say nothing?
Why don't you come over here and tell me what you said?
I don't want to.
Yeah, good times. Good times.
I think everyone has to go through that.
Definitely.
Yeah. I hope the kids still go through that.
Well, I don't.
If not, you're not being raised right.
That may be a thing of the past.
Well, I think it is.
Oh, darn.
Too many kids have cell phones.
I think nowadays parents are trying to, like, you know, they're too busy trying to, like, placate their children and prevent their children from, like, calling social services on them.
Yeah.
To, like, you know, they're going to be, you know, like, I could see, like, you know, some, you know, bratty-ass kid being like, buy me the new iPhone 6 or I'm going to, you know, go tell, you know, social services that, you know, you abuse me or something, you know.
Cool. I would tell my child, tell them, please. I would love to be rid of you.
We'll see your foster family buy you that new iPhone.
Right?
Why would you want to keep a kid who's going to be like, I don't want to live with you.
Daddy.
If you don't want to live with me, then I guess I can't change anything.
Well, here's the phone right here, you know?
Yeah.
Use mine. That'd be awful.
That would be awful. I think kids are just bratty and entitled now. They're little fucks. I don't know. I mean, my kids are really good and sweet and well-behaved, but other people's kids, they're bratty little fucks.
Every other parent feels like.
Yeah, I think that's what every parent feels like. Everyone else's kids is bratty little fucks, and your kids are angels and can do no wrong.
One of my friend's kids. They're the reason I don't have kids.
And if you do know that your kids are shit, then you start looking at some of the kids that are good.
Aww.
But you still know how to pick them.
You're all like trying to get your bratty kid to hang out with some good kids, and they're all like, I don't want to hang out with those kids.
Every time your friend comes over, like, I don't really like that kid. You shouldn't hang out with him. The pep talk after you're done hanging out. Or like if the good one comes and she's like, yeah, you should hang out with him. He's a good kid.
Their
tone changes when it's a goody two-shoe friend that comes over.
You're like, you want to go blow up some army men with some firecrackers? No. No. I was going to draw on my stuffed animal cat. It's washable. What the fuck? Doodle pet? Whatever.
Yeah, the doodle pet.
Yeah.
Sure.
I was going to play with my doodle pet.
Dude, I remember one Christmas.
Dude, your doodle pet is getting some firecrackers. Doodle pet down.
We could stick
stuffing.
It inside of him. And then blow him up.
Wonder Woman, like, I love her costume in this one. She is, like, hot to me. I don't know, maybe it's the long legs, but I would think of her.
What, in the...
Injustice, yeah.
In Injustice?
Yeah.
She's pretty epic.
Yeah.
Like, I can't wait to see, like, what Cap... I wonder if they're gonna,
you just
like, want to
check out the babes,
to,
don't you?
I do like the babes, but I want to see if, you know, they're gonna have, like, different costumes and stuff, or if it's just gonna be, like, the...
Yeah, so far, it looks like they're going to have a couple of different DLC packs with costumes and shit in them.
Okay, that'd be cool.
Yeah, there's got to be at least a primary, secondary.
So they're going to have, like, a Red Sun pack. So it's going to be Superman, Wonder Woman, and Solomon Grundy all done up Red Sun style.
Do you think they'll have, like, a customization point where you can go in and, like, you know...
Tweak the colors and stuff?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think they'll have that.
I don't think they'll have that, but I think
so
that would be
cool.
A lot of fun to have, like, your own custom color scheme
of
Superman
exactly.
And Batman and everything.
Maybe. If it's just the color scheme, maybe.
A Power Ranger Superman?
I would definitely. There was the option.
Yes.
That's funny. Make,
I would take
make
it.
Make Superman look like a Power Ranger.
Yeah
no, that would... Oh, no.
It'd be interesting.
I don't see them doing that. I think that the things that they're focusing on in the game are really about, you know, taking bigger steps with environment interactivity. You know, they're doing the really big animations for the super moves and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, the characters all look awesome. In the demo that we played... We haven't seen much. I haven't seen anything in the way of, like, lag. Load times seem pretty quick. You know, I think that they focused on making a clean, streamlined, just, you know, fun fighting game. And it's got some
fun
features, too. Like, you can have features where you can go into your move list in the full version of the game. You'll be able to go into your move list and highlight a few moves that you like, and it'll throw them up on screen for you so that you can look at them. While you're fighting?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Those are like those little tidbits you just... That just makes a game even more impressive.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, it's going to have an in-depth tutorial system. It's going to have an in-depth story mode. It's going to have an in-depth mini-game. Every character is going to have 10 Star Labs missions, and some of them are like fighting-based. But some of them are, I don't know, like fun little shit. Like I saw one where one of Catwoman's missions, like you have to be her cat Isis, and you have to jump through these laser beams and shit to go steal this diamond.
Really?
Yeah. And like another one is Aquaman's like, the shark is swimming up on him, and he has to use his ability to talk to fish to get the shark to leave him alone, otherwise it comes and chomps him.
That's going to be great, because, like, multiplayer is always, you know, amazing playing with your friends and stuff like that, but a good story mode at, like, 2 in the morning.
And, like, a rich mission mode where you can just go and pick missions and go play those and shit for your character. You know, where, yeah, you know, you're just leveling up your character and you know, getting the XP and, you know, getting new moves and stuff, I'm assuming, unlocked on your moves list and things.
And we could just zone out and just actually just play the game.
Yeah.
That's, like, the best.
Yeah, I like how diverse this game appears to be. It's going to have a lot of, you know, a lot of different modes, you know, so that you don't have to just, you know, beat up your buddies or, you know, play online to get the fun out of it, you know. I like story modes in video games.
I like beating up my buddies.
I like beating up my buddies, too, but, yeah, like, you know.
I usually miss out on those costumes in DLC. Just because it is DLC now. It used to be you just unlock it.
Yeah, you like, would find you it somewhere awesome in the game. Costumes. I hope that they have some of that too. Like maybe, you know, there's like, you know, you complete like a couple of Star Labs missions for a character and, you know, suddenly you've got, you know, like a new costume for him or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, plus there's the DLC ones, but, you know, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I really cannot wait to get my hot little hands on that. I'm going to volunteer for early out at work that day, and I am going to go to the GameStop that I pre-ordered it from, and I am going to get that shit on my lunch at, you know, during work. And if
scratching at your table waiting to play in.
Yeah, and if it's something that, you know, if it's a situation where it's slow at work and they let people go early, which does happen on occasion sometimes, if it's slow enough to let me go, dude, I will definitely go home and play that game. I've got the next day, the whole next day off.
Took Wednesday off, that's
awesome. I took Wednesday off so that I could play Injustice.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be fucking epic. I can't get enough of this game.
You definitely turned Tuesday into a Friday for me.
Yeah.
But I can't wait to get off work.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's awesome to have something to look forward to, man.
Yeah.
It is.
I'm beelining it straight here.
Dude, I can't fucking wait.
You know what I'm looking forward to is when Walking Dead's coming back.
Walking Dead.
Oh
my gosh.
Dude, Walking Dead has been fucking epic this last season.
Twists and turns. They weren't joking when they told us, you know, we're not gonna expect any of it.
Yeah, no, there was some shit. Like I really, All right, we're talking the TV show, not the comic for reference. The TV show is pretty awesome. We haven't read the
possible spoiler the comic. Alerts.
Yeah, lots of spoiler alerts. We're just gonna wrap about this real quick. Andrea was one of my favorite characters, and it was a bummer to see her die at the end of season 3.
Really, she was one of your favorites?
Yeah,
After she decided to, like, stick around with the evil governor, I was like, I lost all respect for you.
Well, I'm saying she was one of my favorites up until season 3. How about that, you know? Although, in season 3, you did get to see her not wearing a whole lot of clothing and whatnot. And that actress is very lovely.
Yeah, she has she's a decent body. I didn't expect that.
Yeah, she's really pretty, too.
She is.
In the face. So, yeah.
The clothes she wears.
Wow.
She can show off as well.
I haven't heard of I've heard of Walking Dead, but I haven't seen any of the episodes. Just tidbits here and there.
Mm.
And from what I've seen,
it's a high recommendation there, friend.
Yeah, I hear it. I hear that from a lot
of
people.
They got most of the seasons on Netflix, definitely.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth watching. They got season 1 and 2 that'll wet your whistle, and then I'm sure 3 will be on there soon enough.
Yeah.
All right.
And yeah, it's definitely worth while.
Just catch up with 4 on demand here and there.
All
right. It's got some good characters and just, you know, some really awesome moments that are hard to forget.
The story. And you know what is just so great is, like, have you noticed how much the group has changed throughout the seasons? It's ridiculous. And, you know, we sit so well with it. It's so easy because each new character is easy to adapt to, like, within the story already.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
Like, it's crazy. How did I start? You know, T-Dog's gone.
Yeah.
You know,
The older guy, what was his name?
With the RV.
Yeah, with the RV. Shit.
He died and his friend died.
Yeah.
And then Rick Rick's
Rick's buddy Shane.
Yep.
Shane was kind of a dickhole.
Shane
though.
He had that coming. He definitely did.
Yeah, Shane had it coming. He was a big bag of dick.
Big bag of dick?
He was a big bag of dick.
Mm. I'm glad he had it coming.
Yeah, he he had it coming, and
he
definitely took it.
Now, Daryl's brother.
Oh, Merle.
That's crazy.
Yeah, seeing Merle die was really fucked up. I kind of actually liked Merle. I like the actor that plays Merle, Michael Rooker. I've seen him in a few things. He was Sylvester Stallone's buddy that goes bad in Cliffhanger. Mm-hmm. He was also the bad guy slash love interest dad in Mallrats. He's a cool actor. I like some of the films that he's been in. I think he's cool. And it was a bummer to see Merle die.
Yeah.
Merle was actually kind of starting to grow on me as a character. He was starting to kind of almost discover some of his humanity toward the end there.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they did that. You know, I think that they wanted the audience to kind of care about Merle dying.
Merle had to go. I haven't even seen the show, but with a name like Merle.
He starts off as a pretty bad guy.
Yeah, he's kind of a dick. He's kind of a racist
beginning. And
just, like, real futz. Like, he's, like, a survivalist kind
of
guy.
I would be too scared of him. I'd be like, hey, Merle's looking for you. I'd be like, so?
Tell Merle to kick rocks.
Yeah, Merle.
Nah, Merle was kind of hardcore, man.
You know, even the daughter.
He was all crazy fucking survivalist redneck.
It wasn't.
Is what he was.
Oh.
So,
put it this way, like, first time they meet him, he's in a group, he's been in there for a while, and they leave him on the roof.
Handcuffed to a roof.
See?
Yep.
And he has to saw his own hand off.
And he does?
He does.
Oh, wow, well, I guess he does.
Yeah, that's hardcore right there. But,
yeah.
I mean, you know, that's survival. I mean, you know, do I die
right now,
or do
so
I saw my hand off, you know?
Well, I love me a whole lot. You'd probably find my skeleton on the roof, hand intact.
Yeah, I don't know. It would be a hard decision to make. You know, like, you hear about those tales of survival in the real world and shit.
Yeah.
Like, there was, that guy that was, like, hiking in Utah a few years ago, and, like, a boulder fell on him and crushed his arm,
right.
And he had to cut his right arm off with his pocket knife.
Yep.
And it was, like, some shitty little Swiss Army knife-looking thing, and he fucking had to cut his arm off. Otherwise, he would have just starved to death, trapped under this rock, you know? I mean, shit, I guess you gotta do what you gotta do, you know?
Yeah.
Survival instincts taking over, I think, you know, makes you reevaluate shit.
Everything.
Yeah.
I can't believe it didn't bleed out.
Right?
Seriously.
Yeah, I don't know how
ridiculous.
Prevented himself from bleeding out, but the guy survived, though.
Yeah, it's an amazing feat for sure.
Definitely. Crazy shit. So, what else we got on bullet points?
We got our homework assignments.
Homework?
Dating back as far as our last podcast.
A couple of months ago.
1977.
Back in the day.
Back in the day.
We are sorry.
Yeah, we are sorry. I was not assigned a new anime, and I kind of fell off the anime watching
wagon.
We've
been pretty lazy. I blame it on the winter, personally.
Yeah, I kind of would like to blame it on the winter, too, because
we've
I don't like to take accountability for that.
Well, I watched a new anime recently.
Yeah?
Oh, have you?
It's Naruto, Road to Ninja. Like, it just came out.
Road of Ninja?
Road to Ninja.
Road
what?
To Ninja.
Yeah, I think it's like movie 8.
Oh,
it's a movie?
Yeah, it's an actual movie. They have movies.
Nice.
And
so is what's
awesome.
It telling, like, his story? His, like, childhood, I mean?
Well, this one was a little bit different. This one was more about, the main bad guy, and I know his name, but I can't think of it right now.
Orochimaru?
No, it's not Orochimaru. He's dead. He's been long dead.
Oh.
He's been dead.
Yeah.
You mean that Toby dude?
Yeah, Toby. Yeah, it's Toby's in there, but what's his real name?
That's all the stuff that's been going on right now.
Yeah.
The Great War.
Yeah, it has to do with like his family. He like takes him to another dimension. Spoiler alert. And takes it to another dimension. And it's really cool. It's not my favorite in the series. You know, I mean, watch it if you like Naruto, because I'm addicted to it, and I'm pretty sure millions are.
Yeah.
Oh,
watch
yeah,
it.
Dude.
It's
Naruto
good,
is one of those ones.
It wasn't my favorite one.
No?
No.
But definitely, I'll watch.
It
adds to the story. Gives you a little background. It's really warming. Like, I love the stories of Naruto, because, like, they'll hit you right in the heartstring. just the way his life is with no parents and, you know, his goals and stuff like that.
Yeah, you gotta feel bad for Naruto. He's kind of a hard luck story, hard luck success story, you know?
He is, but everything about Naruto is about being good and awesome and whole and never giving up, you know?
He has all these stories.
Yeah, and they're good, though. They're really good.
All these adventures.
I'm never gonna give up. Believe it!
Believe it!
I do!
I do, Naruto, I do.
Yeah. So watch some Shippuden because it's amazing.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Bob was talking about the video game.
Yeah, Ultimate Ninja Storm 3.
That shit is coming here. Well, it's out now, it's but out, it's coming to Bobo soon.
I ordered it like 2 days ago, I think, and I think the least amount of waiting time is 5 days instead of 3.
The million, and that's the least.
Well, you know,
so I got
it. Shipping, that's
going to
be business days, understand.
I got to deduct Sundays.
Yeah, no, Saturdays too.
Really?
Business
you do
days.
Get it?
Shippers operate on business days.
Darn.
You get it, we're definitely going
to. Yes, definitely. I'm going to try and work hard to unlock all the characters.
Yeah, bring that over and we'll have to, you know, rock it out and have some ninja battle up in the house.
Yeah, we'll help you unlock characters. Don't be afraid to bring it over.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Oh yeah,
definitely. Mikey wants to get down on that too.
Yeah, man, we'll get a 12 pack.
I already went online and downloaded. as ashamed as I am, I've already gone online and downloaded alternate costumes for the game.
Did you?
All right.
Yeah.
In anticipation.
There was
I almost bought the season pass for Injustice today, even though the game isn't out yet.
You're going to.
I'm going to next week.
You won't have to, I don't think. Doesn't it come with the new game?
No, it. The season pass is the thing that allows you to get the DLC.
Oh.
Like you.
They'll have an online pass.
Yeah,
though,
you
right?
buy it. Yeah. You buy it as a. You buy it as.
I don't like the new online pass thing. I bet the Naruto will even come with one.
The season pass just gives you access to DLC.
I hope not. I really doubt it will, but I hope not. That's for
sure.
Where
things are going.
Everything's so DLC driven.
It's gonna kill fighting games doing that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, they know that they can get more money out of the consumer that way.
It's all about money.
Because you have to buy a new copy if you want the online pass. You can't buy a used copy.
Yeah.
So well, no, you can buy a used copy,
and
but you have to pay $10 for the online. To play online pass because you didn't get the free one that came with the game for buying it new.
Yeah. But,
you're definitely going to want to play online, so people are going to spend that extra $10.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And they know that, so they're going to do it.
But yeah, so homework though, on the homework front. So Baba was reading Age of Apocalypse Volume 3.
Oh, right on.
And I just have been picking up. Green Lantern Blackest Night. It's a big crossover event in DC where Green Lantern's kind of the central hero. You can definitely, you know, see that they wanted Green Lantern to be taken more seriously as one of the upper echelon of DC characters.
He's had
really?
Echelon.
Yeah, awesome. Man. And, you know...
He's not getting enough recognition.
I think he got a lot of recognition in Darkest Night.
Yeah.
Or Blackest Night, rather.
It's pretty epic.
It is. I came across, you know, several of the books in the series, and I've been reading them, you know, in order that I found online. You know, there was like a list of how you should read all the issues and stuff, and so I've been reading those, and pretty hardcore, dude. Like, basically, the Green Lantern represents Will. All right, and the color green and Will are part of the emotional spectrum. So, like, you have red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, like, you know, the colors, the basic colors in a rainbow from science class back in the day when you were a kid, the Roy G. Biv. And so, like, the different colors represent different emotions. So the Red Lanterns are... anger, rage. The yellow lantern, or I'm sorry, the orange lantern is avarice or greed, right? So, like, the guy that's, you know, consumed with, you know, greed, Larfleeze, he's kind of a selfish dickhole. And he kills people and collects them, and they are his orange lanterns. Like, he makes these light constructs of people that he's killed.
Wow.
And he collects them, and they're his orange lantern force.
That's awesome.
And then the yellow lanterns are over fear. So it's like people that create fear. When they deputize lanterns of different colors, the yellow lantern that gets deputized is the Scarecrow from Batman. Well, he's kind of badass with a yellow ring, dude. And then, you know, the Green Lanterns are Will, and then blue is Hope.
Hope.
Indigo is Compassion, and Violet is Love. So. The Star Sapphires are the purple or the Violet Lanterns.
They're pretty wicked too.
They are pretty badass. When they deputize people, Wonder Woman gets selected. And she comes back. Alright, so basically the long and short is the antithesis of these emotional spectrum things is black, right? And black represents death. And so there's these black lanterns that are being created from dead people. So it's like basically kind of a zombie event, but it you know, these people, you know, become black lanterns, and when the black lantern battery becomes fully charged, spoiler alert, some resurrected heroes, you know, heroes that have died and come back from death, some black rings track them down and turn them into black lanterns as well. So we're talking Superman who died and came back, we're talking Wonder Woman who died and came back, Bruce Wayne is a black lantern for a minute, but there's some doubt as to whether or not it's the real Bruce Wayne. Mm. But there's definitely someone in a Batman costume running around black lantern style.
Sweet.
It's pretty sick, dude. It's pretty sick.
I need to read this.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's dope. It's definitely worth checking out. Yeah. A lot of fun. I don't want to spoil the whole thing, but a lot of fun. Just, you know, epic storytelling, good writing on the part of Geoff Johns, who writes Green Lantern, or wrote Green Lantern for several years, starting in like 2004 and forward, building up just the mythos of Green Lantern, and he's done a lot of good to you know, make Green Lantern a more recognizable character to the general public, and you know, so props on that. Good storytelling. Good art.
It sounds really, really good.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I definitely need to learn more about the Lantern series.
Yeah, no, they did a lot of expanding of the mythology. So
Cartoon Network, they have the Green Lanterns, and they kind of touch on it too, so you should check it out.
Yeah, they have a Green Lantern animated series, and it's all like computer style art and kind of 3D art. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. All right, so talk to us about Age of Apocalypse Volume 3, Babo.
Oof, this has me on the edge of the seat. That's what they did with this volume.
A lot of cliffhangers.
They just built me up and then let me hang on the cliff with a rope. They really did. I really need to read the next volume. That's all there is to that, really. This.
You got
to
see how it ends.
Oh, it was so enticing. Like, they set up with their strategy and they're ready. They're finally ready. Here comes the final assault, you know, and you have to wait till the next volume, man.
Yeah, they're starting to put everything together.
Everyone's story's finally coming around. It's just about timing. It's crazy how it's all leading up to this.
Yeah. So Age of Apocalypse covers several X-Men titles.
Right.
And it has several X-Men titles all kind of tied together. Yeah. And, you know, it's their own version of it.
Project X. Or X-Man, I mean.
X-Man,
yeah.
You like X-Man
the
best?
Oh my gosh, X-Man is so amazing. Yeah. That guy has, like, extraordinary powers.
So we're talking basically, it's Cable. It's the Age of Apocalypse version of Cable.
Right, but he's, like, 10 times more badass.
Yeah, so he's Mr. Sinister's genetically engineered weapon against Apocalypse.
He's Jean Grey.
And Scott Summers.
Cyclops. And, like, basically still the same abilities as Cable.
Yeah, but you know, he never got infected with the virus that started turning his body into machinery parts like
right,
he did
so
in the main
like
continuity.
This teenager who
so,
flies around.
Yeah, he's
and he
got
has like one little white strip of hair, and he's good.
Yeah.
His one eye glows with a fury, like a overwhelming power, like. he does this thing where he psychs out, and he just does this epic explosion of psychic, like, mental powers.
All right.
And he just messes anything up. Like, he's literally, he's the X-Man. This is the weapon. He's the one thing that everyone hopes will take out Apocalypse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the true hope. He's the light.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He's pretty epic. He's an interesting character.
But we got this guy, what's his name?
Who?
He's from a different dimension. He says this is all wrong.
Oh, he.
What's his name?
Bishop.
Bishop, yeah.
Bishop, yeah.
Yeah, Bishop and the Bishop's Age of story. Apocalypse.
What if all of a sudden, like, someone, Magneto, decides to get himself shot and it just changes everything?
Or Xavier. Xavier got shot.
Right, but, like, to solve it, he shoots Magneto, right?
No. No, that wasn't Bishop that caused all this. It was
Bishop is saying this is... He's the one he knows because he's from a different dimension.
He's from an alternate timeline.
Yeah, he says, like, none of this should be. And everyone is skepticizing, like, what if he's right? What if we put a bullet in Magneto's head and all this goes away? And that's another possibility they're looking at. But that's all it is a possibility. So they're like, eh.
Oh, yeah. Good luck taking Magneto out. Magneto's the only thing.
No, but Magneto is telling Bishop, and he's like, you know, if comes to it, do it. Kill me. So, like, he's going to let it be, you know.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, Magneto
but
and
Bishop,
his X-Men
Bishop
are all
this. Bishop is all torn about it. He's like, you know, what if this doesn't work? What if I'm killing an innocent man for nothing?
Well, you're just going to have to read and find out.
I know. I'm going to need that. I'm going to need that volume for you.
I know. I broke it out for you.
Itching, man. Itching.
I broke it out for you. It's in the kitchen, bro.
Thank goodness.
You get to take it and find out what happens. But, yeah, Age of Apocalypse, definitely worth checking out.
So, I'm moving on to volume 4. And Joe?
I'm going to finish Blackest Night. And I've got a whole bunch of Green Lantern that I fell into. And so I'm going to...
Green Lantern phase will be okay.
Yeah, I'll go through some Green Lantern.
We're going to bring Darren back into this.
Yeah, we'll bring Darren in and we'll have him talk about some Green Lantern.
Darren knows all about the Green Lantern.
Have him come back and talk some Green Lantern verses.
Yeah.
Some more. We'll do another edition of that.
Speaking of some verses, Tavis, your favorite superhero.
Who's your favorite?
The Incredible Hulk. It's easy.
And your favorite supervillain?
That's a tough one.
Oh, wait, it goes your favorite Marvel first, favorite DC, huh?
Yeah, Marvel and DC.
Who's your favorite Marvel, and then who's your favorite DC?
Marvel.
So Hulk is your Marvel, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess because he's amazing.
Hulk's
like,
awesome. He's always been my favorite.
It's tough to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He has, like, the worst life and the greatest power. And, I don't know, I guess I feel like I kind of relate, so.
And the newer Hulk, he's becoming more controlled.
I do like
it's
that.
It's crazy, I like where they're going with that.
I like that too, only because it just makes more sense to be able to control them.
Right. With time, of course, you'd be able to come and control something, right?
Well, there's only so many plot points that you can recycle over and over again when Hulk is stupid and doesn't have any deeper motivations and things.
Than just to smash everything around.
Yeah, smash everything and Hulk want to be left alone. Why puny humans no leave Hulk alone?
Yeah.
That's another amazing thing with Stan Lee, how he set these characters up to sprout.
Yeah, definitely to grow.
They have
and
plenty
expand.
Of growing space, yeah.
Yeah, they've had plenty of room to grow over the years. I love being part of the time that we're a part of because, you know, at least in comics history.
You get to watch
the
evolution.
Yeah, because you've
seen.
You
don't have to read back on it.
Yeah, there's so much that's already occurred, and now there's so much more that's happening now.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, it's cool. Like, you know, if you're a comics fan, now is a good time to be around.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
For sure.
And DC, it's always got to be Superman. I mean,
Superman.
I know it sounds like.
So then I guess Superman versus Hulk.
Well, Hulk would beat him up.
Is that easy?
You think Hulk would win in a fight between him and
Superman?
Superman
might win.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You think Superman wouldn't fly him out into space where he can't breathe?
If he can get him up there without getting his head clapped in.
Mm-hmm. Life and death.
Yeah.
In a life and death situation, who do you think would win?
I'm going to have to go with the Hulk.
Hulk and Hulk over.
I say that because, you know what I mean?
Like
the madder he gets, the stronger he gets. The madder he has no limit to his strength. and that's just...
No, I've seen them get worn out.
Well, that's in theory.
Right, but, like, sometimes he just gets worn out instead of angrier.
Yeah, like they're angry, I mean. You know, people are able to outsmart the fact that he gets stronger when he gets angrier, and they figure out ways to,
also seen Superman get knocked out.
Chill him out.
Right, but Superman guy has incredible speed, and, like, he's as fast as the Flash.
He's not. The Flash is faster.
A little bit.
Didn't they have that incredible race?
Yeah,
they had a couple of races. They had a couple of races.
I remember those.
Yeah, Flash gets him, though.
Right, but it's pretty even.
Yeah, but Flash gets the Hulk.
You think the Flash wouldn't take the Hulk?
No, that's what I'm saying. Speed's not everything.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
Flash
like he has
punch
the
Hulk
speed
all day long and never do any damage
right,
to him.
Right, but Superman has the speed, and then where the Flash lacks in strength, the Superman comes in. So he has speed and strength. The strength almost matches Hulk. Like, Hulk is my favorite personally, but I think in Life and Death, I think Superman might... Honestly, this is why I don't like Superman. He's just too overpowered. It's ridiculous.
He's not overpowered, though. I mean, he is. It's
not like Hulk is getting smart enough to grab some kryptonite.
Because Superman has a big weakness, his heart, you know what I mean? That's what gets him in trouble. He loves too much.
Hulk's not going to go,
but
or
Superman
even be
might,
smart enough at the time to be like, go grab someone he loves.
But Superman wouldn't want to
kill
him.
Plus, he doesn't want to hurt innocent people either.
And Superman doesn't want to kill anything, you know what I mean? Which is his tragic flaw. Hulk will kill him.
Right, but in the life.
Any moment of weakness, it's a wrap for him. He's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't. He's mush.
Nah, Superman will put him out.
Doubtful. We'll have to see that if in a... Big time guys are out there. Make it happen.
Actually,
they
did do DC versus Marvel.
No, it's an actual storyline.
No, they did comic books. You can get them as graphic
there
novels
is a
on
Superman
the internet. And shit.
Is there?
Yeah, and they did Superman versus the Hulk. Like, what they did was they had Marvel and DC fans like vote to see who would win in these fights. So there was like Batman versus Captain America and Superman versus Hulk and Namor versus Aquaman and so on and so forth. Iron Man and Green Lantern, and, you know.
Well, I'd like to know the outcome of some of these.
Well, Hulk won.
The comeback.
Hulk didn't win. I'm sorry, Hulk got beat by Superman.
Oh,
by fan
lame.
Votes. But, like,
you fans, get yourselves together.
And I think Batman beat Captain America.
Yeah,
but
that
like,
makes sense.
That does make sense.
But, yeah. Like, their story kind of, you know, resolved, like, the greater conflict in the crossover.
Mm-hmm.
So like they started out as enemies and they became allies. And then like I want to say that Aquaman won, and then like they had like Shazam versus Thor, and
Shazam won.
Shazam I think took that like, and then they had like
who's doing this? DC like cause
no
Shazam's pretty much
losing.
Superman too.
No, there were some Marvel guys that won too. I just don't remember how it all resolved out and who all the battles were. But there were some Marvel winners too. I don't remember all of them.
I like Shazam more than Superman, definitely.
Yeah.
I've never been a fan of Superman honestly at all. Like seriously.
Well, we're gonna get to have a little Shazam versus Superman action on Tuesday.
Oh yeah.
That's gonna be fun.
Yeah, Shazam was really cool.
I remember the Shazam Superman.
Oh, the movie.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah.
Who was that they fought?
Well, Superman
Darkseid. Didn't
Darkseid.
Well, but the Superman and Shazam fight was awesome.
Yeah, it was. It was epic.
Of course, Superman took him.
Tore the city up.
Yeah.
But Shazam has, you know, an advantage over Superman in that he is magic.
Yeah.
And Superman is weak to magic. So... You know, it's always a good fight. Like, I really want to have you read Kingdom Come. There's an epic Superman versus Shazam fight in that.
Ah.
Shit gets ill with it, dude.
Maybe after Age of Apocalypse.
I think that might be your next comic assignment is Kingdom Come. It's definitely worth reading. I know you kind of groan every time I come at you with some DC, but... You know, you have to admit, I've got good taste in comics, and when I make you read something,
I've enjoyed every
it's good.
Last one of them, yeah.
Yeah, it's good shit. I still need to rebuy Red Sun, but when I do rebuy my copy of it, I'll have you read that. That was a really fun one. It kind of reimagines the Cold War.
I lost that.
Yeah, I lent it to Tavis, and he lost it, but he did pay me back for it. I just am a lazy bitch and haven't bought it back yet.
So, Dave, I hear you're in a band.
I am, man.
Tell us a little about that.
Talk to us about your band.
Yeah, I'm in a band. It was called Hazardous Matthew. Let me repeat that. Hazardous Matthew. You have to say the whole thing.
Kind Hazardous of Matthew.
Yes. Matthew. Stretch it.
Yeah, you have to, you know, let it linger a little bit. It's that good. Yeah, we've been playing all over Colorado for like the last two and a half years now. Just trying to make a name for ourselves. It's getting really fun, you know what I mean? We have a show coming up on the 24th.
Hopefully I have the details. This is released by then.
Yeah, I have the details on my phone. I'm kind of bad at stuff like that, but look us up on Facebook. We're all over.
So www.facebook.com/hazardousmatthew.
Absolutely.
And then you can also, you guys have a YouTube videos too, right?
Yeah, we have tons of YouTube videos.
So yeah, you can look up Hazardous Matthew, and it's standard spelling on both. Yep. Hazardous, Hazardous, and
yep.
Matthew, Matthew, Bitch.
Just like it sounds. Bitch.
But yeah, no, it's an awesome band. I'm not just saying that because you're our guest. I really do enjoy coming to your shows, Tay.
Thanks, man.
It's awesome to watch you guys play. You guys really have a lot of fun. It's hard to it's hard to, you know, put a label on your music.
It's because it's all original. You know, everything that we do comes out of like either my head or my friend Julius's, and we're kind of weird people, so yeah, we get our inspirations from all over the place. Like he's more of a soul singer kind of guy, like Temptations and, you know,
Commodores,
you know, yeah. I mean, that kind of stuff. Me, I'm more of like John Mayer, Incubus, that kind of feel. So when we combine those, it gets a little crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And guys,
funk it.
Mm. You guys got a flautist.
Yeah, we got a flautist.
That's probably one of the most unique features of your band, I would say.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She is amazing.
Her name is Nina. She's an incredible flute player. She's a master at it. Like, it's been really awesome to have her in our band.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's not to you know, downplay the rest of the band. You guys are all amazing.
Really good.
Your bass player, your drummer, all of you guys are freaking amazing.
Yeah, my bass player, his name is Larry. He's been playing over, you know what I mean, over at least 30 years of his life.
And he is incredible watching this guy play the bass, man. He's a lefty.
Oh, Dan? Yeah.
Yeah, Dan.
Dan, he's the guy who plays the bass, and he is a lefty, and he actually makes his own basses. So any bass, if you come to our shows and you see his basses, he makes those himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, he comes to us from England. He's only actually been in the States for about 3 years now.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a incredible, brilliant musician, and, you know, watching Larry drum it up and shit, man, Larry's got fucking impeccable rhythm and timing, man. You guys are awesome. I love watching you guys play live, man, so...
Thanks, Joe.
Definitely. When your show is out on the 24th, you know, I'd like to make it out. So
right on, that'd be
keep
awesome.
Me posted on the details. And one day when Bobo's 21, he'll be able to come out and see your shows.
Yeah,
we're definitely gonna look you up though.
Yeah, absolutely. Check us out.
So Joe sounds really enthusiastic about this.
Yeah, man, I love their music. It's
because I trust Joe's taste in music too.
Joe's got good taste in music. I've learned a lot from him. Especially work. About the metal.
About the metal, yeah. I do love me some metal.
So, oh, man, you want to give us a little taste of what you got in there?
Yeah, I'll play you guys a little ditty.
You're going to play us a Bobo and Joe show themed song?
A Bobo and Joe song right now.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Right. This may be something. We're going to go for it.
That's all I got, Joe. Okay, if you got questions or comments, feel free to hit us up at the Bobo and Joe Show.
You can like us on Facebook by searching the Bobo and Joe Show, or follow us on Twitter at Bobo and Joe Show, or click the links on our Podomatic site. For Facebook, that's the Bobo, B-O-B hyphen O and Joe Show, or on Twitter is B-O-B-O-A-N-D-J-O-E-S-H-O-W. At Bobo and Joe Show. So there you go. Like us, follow us, do as we command. Mwah-ah-ah-ah-ah.